I get those goosebumps every time you come around, yeah. You ease my mind, you make everything feel fine. Worry about those comments, I'm way too numb, yeah. It's way too dumb, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich, throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. When you're not around me, throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. 713, go to 21, yeah, I'm riding. Why they on me? Why they on me? I'm flying, I'm sipping low key. I'm sipping low key and flying. I get those goosebumps every time.
Back again. It's all right. As it's going off, I've got the wife asking me, oh, who sings this? What's the name of the song? And I'm just like, I just want to enjoy it. Oh, God. We're back again, though. Back again. Welcome to Loaded Mag NFC. Talking Toon is back in business. Another week, another show. But first off, Daz, how are you, fella? How's things?
All good. As long as you don't start talking about Arsenal, all is good. That we can forget about that. That was last night. Only focus on the here, now, the future, and positivity. So all good at me, Pete.
Ah, good stuff. Yeah. And definitely need to move forward because the games come thick and fast this week. And yeah, we've not got too long to mess around before another game comes along. And we're going to be live. We're live for the old watch along. So make sure you come and join us and check out that one. The FA Cup tie against Blackburn at Ewood Park. Looking forward to it. Hopefully we get to celebrate a few goals, give us a bit of fun and cheer again after a bit of a gloomy, Saturday. But look, we're not alone. We've got two brilliant guests and a third one coming later on. So let's get them in. Let's get Jordy
before Josh. Before we do, Pete, let's set a target. Two things actually on my to-do list. Set a target, 200 likes for people that smash that like button. And also, the reason Chris isn't here, it's Lisa's birthday today. It's Chris's happy wife, birthday. Lisa's birthday. So happy birthday, Lisa. I'm sure she'd be watching it at home. If Chris is allowed, but yeah, you're right. Let's bring the lads on. Who are we bringing out first? Who's our first victim?
Bring on the regular. Bring on Josh. Let's get him in.
Welcome back, Josh.
Yes, lads. How we doing? Delighted to be back on you. It's a third time in a row we're doing a treble, lads. I mean, hopefully we can replicate that on the pitch in years to come. But delighted to be back on you. And time for a fantastic show yet again.
Top man. And might need to organise the hat-trick ball. It's three in a row. We'll have to sort that one out. But another guest who's making his debut on Talking Toon, but isn't a stranger to Loaded Mag NUFC. And he won't be a stranger from the end of March, that's for sure.
He's already started with the abuse of us from the last year. But let's get him on. Let's get Johnny. Johnny from Newcastle Fans TV. Welcome, Johnny.
Good evening, gents. Good evening, gents. Can I just change the word from abuse to banter, just to keep everybody happy? Because it was a little bit of friendly back and forth after what we're going to probably be discussing a little bit later on. But I'll let Pete talk about that a little bit later on. But yeah, it's good to be back on and talk all things Toon, as you like to say.
Definitely. Cheers, Johnny. Pleasure to have you, boys. But Daz, we might as well talk about it. Let's not talk about the disappointment of the Arsenal game to begin with. Let's talk about the positivity of the women's game on Sunday.
The women's game, yeah. And we did open the show last night with the result, 2-1 against Portsmouth. But obviously the celebration pick afterwards. But there's no point in us talking about it. Well, let's talk to the lads while they were there. And Johnny, you were doing a bit of fishing there, a bit of in the banter, but you seem to be fresh off the trawler with this one.
Parker, who'll have the time and the space of the strawberry corner. Will she look for the cross? She will, right-footed. Georgia Gibson makes it 2-1! In the 90th minute! Yes! Andy Cook goes down! Georgia Gibson. She just has a knack of scoring goals here at St. James's Park. She's celebrating the Gallagher. Anna Salisbury's just done a marathon run right with the players and we're heading to the 90th minute. 7 minutes of injury time. Newcastle United 2, Portsmouth 1. Brilliant scenes. Andy Cook forgot where he was for a moment, running down the byline like a Jose Mourinho. Anna Salisbury follows him. Anna Salisbury jumps on Andy Cook. And then Anna Salisbury thinks, you know what? I'm going to go and see the girls. She runs over and celebrates with the team. As I say, Georgia Gibson has scored in every competitive game that we've played, yeah.
Quality.
Great commentary. I love that.
You too, kind. I was thinking when I watched it back on last night when Lee put that clip off, what an idiot. But it was, you know what it was? And I know obviously Josh was there as well yesterday. It was a fantastic occasion. And look, it's the first cup final that I can remember for Newcastle United women. And I think even Lee was saying he can't really remember. And he's been covering the women's team for about 6 or 7 years. And what an occasion. It was over 22,000 inside St. James's Park for Georgia Gallagher Gibson. She just keeps on scoring goals at the Gallagher. I think she's scored in every single competitive game for Newcastle when it's been staged at St. James's Park. And I think the vast majority of them will be in the Gallagher as well. So, yeah, she's written her own headlines once again. But it was a really, really good game to watch. Newcastle deserved the win, if I'm being honest. It was the top of the North versus the top of the South. And we all know the North's better than the South, especially Pete Davey. He certainly knows the North's better than the South. So, yeah, great occasion, great result. And they're in the final with a take on hashtag United, who are quite a well-known team around the YouTube world. Newcastle probably go in there as slight favourites, and it's going to be played at a Premier League ground. And are you thinking Old Trafford, the Etihad, Anfield? Not quite. It's Kenilworth Road. But there'll be a lot of Newcastle supporters in there down Luton on the weekend of the 23rd or 24th of March. It's going to be announced on Wednesday, I believe.
Okay, that's what it says. That was one of my questions. What win is it on? So that's cool. Ooh. Oh, deadly. Cool. And Josh, you were at the game as well. And people were getting loads of pics with you, including this lady.
Do you know what it is? When she asked us for a photo, I didn't know who it was at first, but... No, I'm joking. Honestly, it was an absolute pleasure to meet Amanda, you know. And something which I didn't actually notice, I know, of course, you see all the stuff on social media, you think, oh, she's an Irish woman. Honest to God, she looked like the most wonderful bundle of energy I've ever seen in my life. She's got the when the lasses are scoring, she's running down the media section, just oh god, she just looks like she loves the club so much, from, you know, the Champions League men's sides to the under nines boys to the development of the women. She loves each single colleague of Newcastle United individually. Honestly, I said this on my video, she actually is like the mother of Newcastle United. She's so loving, man. She just hugs everyone. It was a pleasure to see her as well.
Class.
It's always good to get a picture with the owner when you get the opportunity. So take that all day long. And yeah, like you said, it looked like a fantastic occasion, and a great advert for the city and for women's football. Because look, Johnny, you've been traveling up and down the country following women's football. In your opinion, like the development of the game since obviously the takeover, how big has it been transformed just in those, 2.5 years?
Yeah, it's huge, Pete. I think even before the takeover, you know, Newcastle United women's team were just an afterthought. It was with the foundation. They weren't even part of the club at one point. They were having to raise money, get sponsors in, basically paying to play for Newcastle United, which if you think about it now, it's just absolutely disgraceful, if we're being honest. Now they're in a position where they've got an ownership that really, really cares about the development of the women's team. And, even just the 3 years, I think it's just under 3 years I've been covering the women's team with Lee, who's been obviously doing it for a lot longer than me. But the strength to strength development of the professionalism on and off the pitch and the quality on and off the pitch as well is absolutely brilliant. And long may it continue because, the only thing that's missing at this moment in time is Newcastle actually being in the WSL. Now, there's still, technically, if you're looking at from the men's side of things, you'd like to think the kind of like League One right now, the top of League One, if you like to call it like that. But if they were to get promoted, which is they've got a good chance, Becky Lang, you'll say one game at a time. I know she will, because I just said that to us last night. But in all seriousness, she's been a breath of fresh air. And I think as well, if Newcastle can get promoted, they'll be in the Championship and they'll be playing against teams who were just beaten, relegated from the WSL. So it will be a really, really interesting season next season to see how far they can actually go, because I think the league are waiting for Newcastle to get into the WSL, because the attendances will be brilliant. The TV cameras will want to be there as well. So there's so much opportunities for, you know, the Newcastle United women's team to develop even further. So yeah, it's absolutely outstanding to think that it was just an afterthought a couple of years ago. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, quality.
And of course, it's an opportunity for that. There could be a League and Cup double as well, the way things are going. So fingers crossed it all worked out on that front. And if anyone hasn't heard it, I know that you guys on Newcastle Fans TV, you did great coverage on the women's game. George Culkin did a great piece as well, and detailed interviews with other players and Becky Langley and everyone associated with it. So check that out. It's this week in the part of the time, so check that one out. Cool. We're going to the next question, Pete.
Definitely. Let's make a start, just because there's a few good questions in here that I want to get your opinions on. And of course, we're going to just rewind back to the men's football just for a second. Lots of people with opinions on social media after the game against Arsenal. Lots of, I have to say, negative opinions in various different angles around Newcastle United at this moment. And, you know, Rich Doblin is, I'm just going to borrow the chat just for a second, as Rich Doblin says on here, some absolute trash all over Twitter about how absolute nonsense. And the question I've got for you, boys, and Johnny, we'll start with you with this. You know, is Eddie Howe under pressure in your eyes? After this game, recent performances, what do you make of all the talk?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we probably would have said about 3 months ago, don't be so ridiculous. This is absolutely, you know, bewildering. Eddie Howe under pressure. I'm going to kind of say it in two answers. He is under pressure because of who we've got tomorrow. And we have to beat Blackburn tomorrow, with the greatest of respect to Blackburn Rovers, you know, 16th, 17th in the Championship, only a few points above the bottom three. New manager who hasn't picked up a win yet. He is under pressure tomorrow. In terms of the grand scheme of things, I don't think he's necessarily under pressure from the supporters at this moment in time, myself included. I think he's still got enough credit in the bank. But I would say the ownership, as much as they will say in front of cameras, no, we're really happy with Eddie Howe, X, Y, and Z, I still think there's probably some communications and some talk that, well, we do need to see improvement. We do need to see be a bit more better on the pitch, especially at home. The home form hasn't been great since the turn of the year. I still think that Eddie Howe can turn this mini blip, if you like, around, because at the end of the day, we have got a very, very good squad. We are missing a couple of key players, but, you know, apart from Joe Linton and Callum Wilson, and we all know about Tonali, let's forget about that for a second. Yeah. But Joe Linton and Callum Wilson are kind of the only two players that were really kind of Nick Pope to an extent as well, because we're conceding so many goals. But then those three players were kind of really only missing, if we're being honest. Elliot Anderson and Matt Target would be in and out of the team anyway. More Anderson than Target. So Eddie Howe is under pressure in terms of the grand scheme of things from the ownership. But I think if you take the last two seasons into account, you've got to let him get on with it and prove to the Newcastle supporters, the ownership, whoever's got this potential pressure on him, to let him get on with it from now to the end of the season, because it can still be a really, really good season.
Definitely. No, I think that's a fair point. I mean, Josh, from your perspective, I mean, he's had a bit of a bad run. There are question marks. And look, we're always referring back to social media, because social media throw a lot of comments out there in between games, on game day, after games. You know, there's been question marks about his tactics, question marks about even more recently about, you know, is the dressing room even playing for him? You know, is that a concern for you, or is this just, you know, some sections of fans just going overboard and over the top? Well, where are you at with it?
I think it definitely, at this moment of time, look, I mean, it's absolutely nowhere near the end of the world, is it? In my opinion, I think, like Jonathan said, it's like we haven't been in this situation as fans before, where one manager has been so safe in, I mean, especially in my lifetime supporting Newcastle, a manager has been so safe in his job And so many different things have happened. I mean, I don't want to go on about it because it is a bit of a boring narrative, shall we say. All the injuries, the fatigue, blah, 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 all that stuff. But that's definitely a reason why we haven't picked up points along the way. We've had players come in, we've had players come out. But as of right now, I think Eddie Howe's getting sort of stick or flack, shall you say, not because of the results, but because of maybe in-game management, team selection, stuff like that. But nah, he's not in any sort of pressure for me whatsoever. I mean, look what he'd done. I don't want to go on about the past, of course, the now is now, but just look at what he'd done. I mean, we've been unlucky, really. I mean, look what happened in Paris. We got unlucky there. Look what happened in the Carabao Cup final, an individual error last minute. We got unlucky there. Tonali getting banned yet again, like Jonathan said, we'll not speak about that. I just think it hasn't happened for us this season. At the end of the season, it's going to be one of those where we look back, oh, what happened if that didn't happen? What could have happened if that didn't happen? So for me personally, he's not under any sort of pressure, but it would have just been a lot better if these sort of, it is very sticky one, but it would have just been a lot better if these sort of things didn't happen. But just give him time, 110%. We've seen what he's done, especially in the second season where he had a transfer window, where he sort of worked everything from the ground up, as we know he wants to have his hands in sort of every single pocket inside of the club. We just need to give him, I think, to back him one more full window. Of course, I'm not saying get rid of him after two seasons, but just look at what he can do with all of these players back available. Give him one more transfer window, and I think we'll be high and flying, injury-free, fingers crossed as well.
Yeah. No, it's. I think that's most fans' opinions of Eddie Howe is, you know, we understand the injuries. We've talked about it on Loaded plenty of times. We understand the injuries. We understand that we were decimated. We've been, you know, without key players. Joe Linton's another one. He was answering questions on him today, saying he was a priority to get his new deal signed. He wants him to stay at the club. But with us going out of the Champions League, Daz, as early as we did, and it wasn't expected, even though it was a tough group, there was still an expectation that we'd be at least playing European football. I think by the time we got to that last game, I think that's probably fair to say. The fact that we've slipped down the table, I think we're ninth at the moment. Okay, at this point, West Ham play tonight, so that could change again. If he goes out of the FA Cup, Daz, do you think there needs to be serious questions asked of Eddie Howe with the fact that the majority of the players are now back fit?
No. Right. And there's a reason for that. Because we touched on it a bit last night as well, but I'll go back as far as the Amazon documentary. Amazon documentary, they already knew it was going to be a tough season. They didn't have a big enough squad to cope. Then the group of death of the Champions League, when it initially came out, no one was expecting Newcastle to come out of it. Now, we could have even topped it if things had taken a different turn. Look how unlucky were we in Paris, for example. It didn't work out. Just by narrow margin, we missed out. We kind of fell away a bit. All the injuries, all the excuses in. Okay, but no, not after. If we were to go out against Blackburn either in the game tomorrow or a replay or whatever it might be. It's also based on how our league form is now between now and the end of the season with those players coming back. Because as we said, the excuses are starting to wear thin. And it's only then, come the end of the season, they'll look at the big picture. Mm-hmm. And If he's still not getting the tune, because I know a lot of people are saying, and you mentioned there as well, Pete, I had a voice note as well today saying that, not from our chat, from someone else that was watching the show last night, saying that that he's lost the dressing room and all this kind of talk as well. He has to be given a chance. I think he will, like Johnny said, I think he will, it will pick up for him between now and the end of the season. If it doesn't, though, then there are serious questions need to be asked. And I wouldn't be surprised if something massive did happen then come the summer. But I myself think he deserves another shot at it. But he has to, as well as himself playing for our playing for his job, fighting for his job, they're all under a bit of pressure because he's going to, the credit that he has in the bank is starting to run out. And in the press conference today as well, you could kind of see that he was, it's kind of starting to take his toll on him a bit as well. He doesn't look as fresh as he has done in the past. I think maybe a way of putting it, but it'll be, as always, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Definitely. I think a few people have noticed that. Like, he does look a little bit tired. Like, I don't think he did in his interview after the game against Arsenal, but I noticed a couple of weeks before that, in some of his interviews, he did look like he was looking very tired in the nicest way to say that. And, you know, it is a very, very stressful job. It is, as a football manager. It does age you a lot because you are non-stop. We loved the fact, you know, when he first signed, and he talked about starting at 6 a.m. and not leaving until 7, 8 o'clock at night. We loved that because we'd not had that. We had a manager that didn't want to be anywhere near the club, spent more time away from the club than he did actually in the training ground. But we had this manager that was the opposite, and we loved that. But just imagine that over 2.5 years of day out, hardly any rest, and committing pretty much your life to this club. It can wear you down at some point.
The other thing, Pete, I remember back to even in that first window, that first summer window, that he was like, he even on his holidays, he was taking calls about players. So Falgali, I think he was out in the States and driving around, and he was on the phone. And also then in the high performance podcasting, you just go, you're thinking, is he going to burn himself out here? So I don't know. When Amanda and Mary had talked about him, wanting him to be the Alex Ferguson of Newcastle, to have that kind of a career. But he just needs to get over this bump and hopefully kick on from there.
I think that's what it is, though, gents, isn't it? It's just a bump in the road at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. Because, look, I know we'll probably talk in detail about the Arsenal game, and it was poor, let's be brutally honest. And I know we'll probably go in a bit more depth on that in a bit. But it is essentially a bump in the road. And now, if we win tomorrow, I think it doesn't necessarily solve all our problems, but it at least puts smiles on people's faces. And everyone can kind of go, well, one game away from Wembley. Now, I know that's a different debate altogether, whether Wembley should have semi-finals. I don't think they should, but that's a different debate altogether. However, this is where I was coming back to saying this actually could be a really good season. You're a game away from Wembley. You're 3 games away from winning a cup competition if you beat Blackburn tomorrow. It's not unimaginable to think that Eddie Howe could be the man that could bring us a piece of silverware for the first time in God knows how long, since 1969 or 1955, if you go back to the last FA Cup win.
Yeah.
There is an opportunity to get Newcastle in a position where, draw depending, could be back at Wembley within the space of 12 months. Now, today's the day that we actually played Manchester United at Wembley last year. So we all love that experience of being at Wembley, enjoying what it was all about, because, you know, it was almost like a kid in a sweet shop or at a fair ride that just wanted to do everything. You wanted to go and take pictures at Wembley. You wanted to be there at the earliest opportunity. You wanted to be at Trafalgar Square. How good would it be to go back and go, well, we enjoyed all that, but can we actually go and win the game this time? Because I felt last year, Eddie Howe, I think, prepared the team pretty well, but I just felt the team just didn't believe in itself to win the game. I think we all enjoyed being in a final. We all had that lovely experience of being in the final. But it just showed that we didn't have experience of, you know, being in a final. And that was the, in terms of the actual game itself. But I think this time round, if Newcastle were to get to a semi-final at Wembley, whoever they play, it'll be different because we'll have that experience. Eddie Howe will have that experience. The only one thing I would add in terms of Eddie Howe himself, in terms of the whole grand scheme of things, you talk about the fact that he's a Premier League manager, he's been doing this for 2.5 years. I get that, but with respect, that's what you sign up for. This is the industry. This is the big boys' games. You know, you're sitting in the top four. You're sitting in the top half of the Premier League. It is obsessive. It is very much 24/7. But you get paid a lot of money to deliver good results. Yes, you need a bit of time to relax. I get that. But there is going to be moments where you get judged on. And Eddie Howe, I think, is so obsessed with football, so obsessed with Newcastle United and everything around it, engrossed in everything. He wants to succeed. He wants to do well. I think he can do that. I still think he can do that. You know, Eddie Howe got us to the Champions League. Let's be honest. He's got us wins over PSG as well. So, look, let's give him more time. I don't. If anybody's saying that he needs to be sacked X, Y, and Z, and this whole Jose Mourinho rubbish, you know, let's just take a second just to kind of go, let's remember what Eddie Howe's done.
I think actually on the back of that as well. Oh, sorry. Go on about Jose, lads.
No, go on. Right.
What I was going to say is actually, it definitely is a bump in the road. I mean, imagine right now, of course, do you remember the hype around Newcastle United last season? It doesn't feel like that now. When we were on the road to Wembley, the hype around the club at that time was absolutely unbelievable. I've never, ever experienced anything like that as a fan. But imagine, look, right now, we're not in the worst position, but it just feels a bit crap around the club. The sort of aura and the atmosphere just feels a bit down at the minute, right? So we're in this position right now. Imagine how it would sort of alternate and shift the club sort of aura if we got a European spot and if we won this cup competition. It seriously is a blimp in the road. Anything could happen. If we actually did win the FA Cup, Eddie Howe would be getting sung as a messiah yet again. So I think these fans are just being way over the top. We don't know where we are going to end up. If we do get a European spot, I'm absolutely happy with that. Semi-finals of the FA Cup, he's safe in my books for me, 110%.
Yeah. No, I think that's... Most people, like I say, it's most people's opinion that he's safe. He's at least going to get the summer to be able to rebuild the team and go again. But with every defeat, it just feels like we're kind of going back to square one, where we get fans that are saying, you know, Eddie Howe out. You know, we've put a number of tweets out on the channel's account, on our personal accounts, and some of the responses we're getting from fans is very interesting. Is that there's a lot more starting to say that he needs to go, and sometimes it is emotional, sometimes it is very much reactive. But again, this talk of Jose Mourinho just doesn't seem to go away, and it's maybe because he's not in the job at the moment. But you know, Johnny, I think because of your reaction to that, you're not entertaining that idea. You're not taking Jose Mourinho now.
Someone said that to me about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. You're not taking Jose Mourinho. I think someone would have thought that I was. I don't know. I must have had a few drinks, to say the least. Look, I think there's always going to be speculation because Jose Mourinho always speaks very fondly of Newcastle. He does the whole Mr. Robson, and his fact that he's never beaten a Newcastle team at St. James's when there's been fans in the Premier League. I think he had one cup win and one win in the Premier League when there was no fans with Spurs. So he's of course an exceptional manager. We know that. I just don't think Jose Mourinho is what we need at Newcastle United right now. And that sounds crazy for me to say this because he's won everything. He's literally won everything that there is. But I just don't think his style of football is what's popular, is what's in the kind of modern game, if you like. He did, to a degree, did a good job at Roma. He obviously won the Conference League, got to the final of the Europa League where they lost on penalties. So he has a knack of getting teams into big occasions, and 9 times out of 10 generally wins them. But it's just the whole Jose Mourinho story. It's the red cards with the referees. It's the backlash with the media. You know, for me, it's just not what we need at Newcastle. We've got enough backlash as it is, considering who owns Newcastle United. We don't really need extra, you know, fuel to the fire, if you like. I just think while he's still out of a job, there's still a possibility that he's going to get linked with this job. You almost want him to be England manager because he probably gets you over the line. He makes those changes in big games, and you'll have he's only got, say, 6 or 7 games a year, but it's probably not what Jose really wants to do. I think he probably still thinks he can do a job at a big club, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. It really will be, because he's such an enigma, isn't he?
Definitely. Well, that's what we.
You know, I was going to say, Alan in the chat there says, "Sorry, lads, but Eddie will be off to England after the Euros." So
I don't see it. I don't. Johnny, you just made a really good point about Jose Mourinho. Is that, you know, he is probably at the age where he would probably consider, or most managers at that point would maybe consider a stint at international management. Eddie Howe, he's still, what, 46, 47, something like that? He's still really young in terms of modern managers. Why would you want to take an international job now at the height of your career? I couldn't understand why Southgate took it sort of in his early 50s or so, because at that point, no club team were even interested in him. and he was already in the setup. But go on.
No, I was just going to say, I'm playing devil's advocate here. Coventry have just gone 2-0, by the way, against Maidstone, so we're not playing Maidstone next round. if we get through. No, one thing I will say about the England thing, I completely agree with you. Why should he go to England? He's in the Premier League. Great job at Newcastle. He's going to have money to spend in the summer because we've got the Adidas deal coming in. We've got the Champions League money, well, prize money as well. You know, we're still, regardless of where we finish, it depending if it's inside a year or outside, it's still going to be pretty close in terms of money spending. It's going to be quite hefty. However, you've got Jude Bellingham, who's just getting better and better and better. You've got Harry Kane in his prime. You can get rid of the old players like your Hendersons of this world and bring in some fresh players, if you like, in terms of that midfield. You've got a prime Declan Rice. You've got a prime Phil Foden. You've got a prime Jack Grealish. If you can get that defence right of England, imagine working with them every other month. It's going to be tough. I don't think it's a straight decision to go, I'm definitely going to stay at Newcastle if England come knocking. I still think he would consider it. I do agree. I just think it is a little bit too early. But when I'm throwing out these names, England haven't really been blessed with this since the Golden Generation, but the Golden Generation didn't care about England. You can tell with these players, they do care about England. And I know Daz absolutely loves the fact that England got a really, really good chance of winning the Euros in the summer. So
now I'm looking forward to the penalty shootout when you get knocked out, Johnny.
Oh, come on.
I always do.
When was the last time Ireland did anything? Like, seriously?
Never, yeah.
Honestly, they go on about Thierry Henry's bloody handball for God's sake. Get over it, boys. Get over it.
The banter is well and truly begun on more than one level.
I'm marking Johnny in the football, so.
Josh, what do you think about what Johnny said? You kind of nodding away as he was talking about the England job. Is it as straightforward as you is? As maybe I thought it would be. I thought it was a straight no. Why would he want to go? But are you in the same mindset?
I agree with a lot of things John said. Not right now. Definitely not. We have got probably one of the most exciting projects going on in world football. Why would he want to leave it? As of right now, for me, he's in the safe seat. Next summer, he's going to have the money to spend. He's going to have Tonali back. He's going to have all these players injury free to work with finally. And we're probably going to have a very fantastic season. Fingers crossed we can win something. But the England look is sort of, it's like a prized possession going to manage England, isn't it? I mean, imagine being an Englishman and saying you are managing the England job. It would be absolutely fantastic. And you could see you'd be very proud and he would love to do that as well. But for me, I think Eddie Howe, as you mentioned before, he likes being in a day-to-day job. He's very obsessed with football, of course. I know he took that big sort of gap out between Bournemouth and Newcastle. But I think he wants to be in a job where he's with the players, hand-to-hand every single day, if you know what I mean. He wants to be working with people and players every single day. I don't know if he could actually do it like 1 month in, 1 month out, then it's club football, then he has a break, if you know what I mean. I mean, he would be a fantastic manager for England. Finally Anthony Gordon would get a game for England as well. But nah, not for me. I don't think he would at this moment in time. Nah, definitely not.
Interesting. Nice. We kind of segued on into that discussion about the England manager's job. I think it's an interesting conversation. There's some people in the chat that are saying Southgate's going to stay. There was rumours that he might want to kind of, you know, extend his contract after the Euros. I do think it would all depend on how good England get on. But there's a couple in the chat. Alan Wilson, I'll just borrow the chat for a second, Dad. Sorry. But sorry, lads. But Eddie, I think he's putting his off to England after the Euros, and he's even willing to put £100 to charity on that. If I was a betting man, I'd agree with you. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I do think he's going to lean to stay, but that's just my opinion. All things can change very, very quickly in football. We know that. That is for sure.
I'm just going to say sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I do agree that Southgate will probably still be England manager. I just think it's just something that to think about. You know, Bellingham, Rice, Kane, Foden. It's just a lot of names. I think there's one thing that we can guarantee is that his next job will not be the manager of the Republic of Ireland. I think that's a fact.
I even turned down that job. who wants that job? No one.
Steve Bruce, maybe?
No.
Ireland have been without a manager for about 5 months and they still can't get anybody to take the job.
There's talk of getting the manager the left, bringing him back. it's been that bad. Cool,
no, but we'll wait and see how that all transpires. Hopefully Eddie gets a shed load of money to spend and the conversation's a non-starter. So let's get into it. Second question, guys, and it's FA Cup related. Is the FA Cup run bigger than the league position? Okay, lots of talk about, no, we need to finish as high as we can. We need to get European football this season of some form. Some people are saying, forget the league. It's all about the FA Cup. That's the priority. That's what matters. Go full strength tomorrow. What are your thoughts? Josh, I will start with you.
I think for the FA Cup, if you were to say to me, would you rather win the FA Cup and not be guaranteed Europe? I'm definitely taking that FA Cup. It's a trophy. End of the day, it's a trophy. This club needs a trophy. These fans need a trophy. It's what we've waited for so long. Even my dad hasn't seen us win a trophy. That's how long it's been. But another thing, which is a sort of, I've said this in a previous video as well, this is a sort of catalyst to if we do get Europe this season. So imagine if we actually do the impossible and get Champions League, that's going to play a factor in the next season. What is the chances of us winning the Champions League next season, lads? Do you know what I mean? It's probably going to hamper on the Premier League results, on the FA and Carabao Cup yet again, because no matter who we buy, I still don't think we will have a squad for next season to go and challenge for the Champions League. I mean, I think it's pretty fair to say that, although I don't even think we will get in the Champions League positions this season. I would actually agree that the FA Cup is probably something to prioritise, but it's a sticky one as well, because as we've seen in the Carabao Cup, teams like Manchester City, they didn't really prioritise that whatsoever. I think they just came to St James's Park and pretty, I don't want to say rolled over for them, but it wasn't the Man City that we all know from a weekly basis. But in the FA Cup, they will prioritise that, as we do know they've been prioritised in the previous rounds. It's going to be a harder one to go for, but I think we should prioritise it. I don't want to say over the league, because of course we need to get as high as we can, but all I'm going to say is I would love a cup run rather than trying to go for a Champions League position where, let's be real, I don't think we're going to get pretty near to it this season.
Yeah, interesting. And look, just whilst we're going to move on to Johnny, our third guest is in the house. So let's welcome in Team Review Stato. Let's welcome in Alex. How you doing, fella?
Yeah, hey, very good, guys. How are we getting on?
Not too bad. Thank you for joining us. I know you just finished your show on Team Review, so great to have you with us. And we're just having this conversation now about the FA Cup. And I'm going to go to Johnny, then I want to get your thoughts on it as well, Alex. And is the FA Cup run bigger than the league position? Johnny, you were kind of nodding up to a number of things that Josh was saying there. Are you all FA Cup? Are you all league, or are you a little bit down the middle? What's your thoughts?
I think now I'm all FA Cup because of the fact that the defeat to Arsenal, obviously I know that our home form hasn't been brilliant, but put it this way, if this question was asked when the third round draw had taken place, I think my answer would have been different. It would have been the league, because we were in a strong position in the league. You know, we weren't a million miles away from your Aston Villas and your Tottenhams, but we have drifted away. And it has got to a situation now where the FA Cup is kind of our prized possession, if you like, in terms of really going for it. I do think Eddie Howe should play close to his strongest 11 tomorrow. I really do, because with the greatest of respect, the best we're probably going to finish now is seventh. We're probably too many points by Manchester United. Let's say 6 or 7 points by Manchester United. Depends if it kind of fall off a cliff, who knows. But the FA Cup should be draw depending, and I've mentioned this before, if you beat Blackburn, you're in the quarterfinals. Let's see who you get. If you get a home draw against Coventry or Bournemouth or Luton, if they beat Man City, which is hard enough as it is anyway, if you get a home draw against anybody but a Man City or a Liverpool, who knows? Let's be honest, who knows? Because you're kind of going to be in a situation where it's going to get taken out of your hands, and it's going to get taken out of Eddie Howe's hands a little bit to kind of focus on finishing well with the FA Cup. The league, look, seventh's just about going to get you a European place, but Brighton are a good team. West Ham currently winning, I think, a 2-0 up now. You've got Wolves who have done pretty well. I think they might just fall off a little bit just because the fact that the squad, I just don't think that their bench is strong enough. Chelsea, God knows how Chelsea kind of finish, but it's just going to be one team's going to find a way of finishing seventh, and that's kind of how it's going to end, really. So for me, put all your eggs into the FA Cup basket. The only caveat to that, I think the ownership will be looking at a top league position. That's what they want. They want a league position. They want to finish as high as possible, just like all the fans do. But in terms of the general question, the FA Cup run has to take priority now, especially after Saturday night.
Alex, I'll ask you the same question, but I'll add something on there, is that, and Johnny's just talked about it, about the ownership and where they want to maybe finish in the league. Can we afford to give up playing any form of European football next season if we kind of go all in for the FA Cup, maybe get to a semi-final, maybe even a final, but not win it? You know, where is your priorities lie right now?
So the general priority is to absolute minimum, bare minimum, is to get Conference League, because we need to get used to and adjust to playing that many additional games per season. It's good for the fans to be able to travel and have European nights, regardless of the level of opposition. It's good for the squad. It's necessary, absolutely necessary, regardless of how we get there. But in terms of league position, I think that's a bit harsh. I think, you know, fifth is 10 points away from us with 12 games remaining. So, I mean, it's not impossible to 3-4 game swing. It relies on us actually remembering how to play football, which I appreciate is quite difficult right now. But, you know, I mean, seventh, we're 2 points off seventh right now. So we're in seventh if one game goes our way. So I think we could be marginally more optimistic with returning players. But again, it depends on us remembering and things starting to click, which, you know, if we continue on this path for another 6 weeks, we're buggered. But we'll have to wait and see. But what, in terms of what's more important, I'd say I'm down the middle. I'd love a cup, but again, with the coefficient this year, it's looking very possible that fifth place is Champions League, therefore bumping people further down. So eighth place might get you Conference. It doesn't currently, but it may do by the end of the season. And you've got to look at the run-in as well. I mean, the top four is currently Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Villa. We've played all of those twice.
Yeah.
So we've played the current top four twice. So the difficulty of remaining fixtures in theory on paper is more doable than maybe you'd think when you just sort of remember how many matches we've got. But with returning players, I'd like to think we can give a good punt on both fronts. And I think that's how Eddie Howe's always picked his teams. And I think that's what we'll do.
No, I think that's fair, Daz. We've kind of touched on this a little bit yesterday when we were talking about it after the reaction. But hearing the boys' views on that, is your view changed on this situation? Is it differed? Where are you at right now?
Well, last season I was all about the league. Forget the cups. The cups are a bonus. But this season, I'm kind of split between what Johnny's saying and Alex is saying, because Johnny's saying he thinks he will finish around seventh. I'm reading between the lines there a bit. And Alex saying we could potentially get fifth. I'm saying the highest we can get now is sixth for me. And that's. But I think one kind of will feed off the other. If we ever go continue a cup run, it will help us in the league as well, as in we build the momentum. So I don't think we need to prioritize one over the other or anything. But for me at the moment, as it's looking now, I would see the FA Cup as being more important, because I think we're going to be Blackburn. Then it's all about who we get in the draw after that. And you never know how far we are away from Wembley, either in the semis or in the final, plus the final. So, yeah, that's me.
I'll just add one thing to what you've just said. So the teams above us, between us and the top four, you've got Wolves, West Ham, Brighton, Man United, Tottenham. Haven't we got to play all of those teams again?
Yeah.
That, in my mind, if we can remember how to play football, makes it even more achievable.
And then you've got Chelsea and Fulham just below us in 11th and 12th. We have to go to them. So, for example, we still got to go to Chelsea and Fulham. Brighton come to us just before the end of the season. We need to go to Old Trafford. Tottenham come to us. So that's kind of how it is. So, yeah, there are a few games there. And if you want to go even further down, 13th Palace, we have to go to them too. So there's a few teams around us that we still have to go to them, but there's a few winnable games at St. James's Park if we can make that a fortress again. And that's the key.
Well, we're also forgetting our luck. The Arsenal game was the only game in the last while that we haven't lost a player. Our run of losing a player nearly every game feeds into as well. And our bad luck is not over either, I don't think. So don't rule that factor out.
Mm. Can I just add on just a couple of points, because I think it's a really interesting debate. Actually, I think it's interesting what Alex says about the fact that we're still going to play the teams in and around us. So I do take that point, but we are still missing key players. Like as much as we have got players coming back, Nick Pope has actually become a bigger miss than we thought. I know Dubravka's had his moments, but it's been quite a big miss in terms of the fact that we are conceding so many goals. And you know, I know I look at the Bournemouth game. A slip's a slip, that can happen. But I think Nick Pope saves that second goal against Bournemouth, in my opinion. And I think that could have been a couple of points. I just don't think at this moment in time we're in a position where we can go and beat Man U, Spurs, Brighton, Wolves. I'm not saying we're going to win all those games, but I just don't think we're going to get enough points to kind of get us up towards that. I think fifth is a bit unrealistic, if I'm being honest. Sixth is probably there or thereabouts. I agree with Daz. But Alex mentioned about the fact that we need European football. Completely agree with that. I really do. But don't we really need to win an FA Cup just to kind of get that monkey off the back? We haven't won a cup competition, or some would say a proper cup competition, since 1955. It's been a long, long time. I completely get about the long run, the journey, the X, Y, and Z with the whole ownership and building Newcastle in terms of being in Europe and being getting used to that. But we really need an FA Cup. We need a cup. We need to get that bit sorted as well. And that'll go hand in hand with actually being able to play in European competition if you do win the FA Cup. So I just think realistically now, yes, it's not impossible that Newcastle can't finish sixth or seventh. It's not. But I think if the draw, depending, as you've mentioned, Pete, who knows?
It happens. The one thing I'll always go back to is one of the Man City fans that comes on our channel, LB. I remember him saying to me and Chris on our preview show, it's so important that when you're in a project, getting that first trophy. He was like, when I think they won the FA Cup, was their first major trophy. He was like, that monkey off their back was such a relief for the players, for the fans, for the whole club, that it just ended up allowing them to kick on. And I always go back to last season, this time last year, missing out on that opportunity to beat a very average Man United. I just don't know whether that's going to come back to haunt us in terms of chasing that title, that first trophy. And it was in the season where Liverpool weren't at it. Man City didn't want the cup at that stage. Man United weren't great. Tottenham was shocking. You know, it's like the Leicester season where all of the teams around them just fell apart and they were able to just keep going and going and going. And we used that to our advantage. We maximised and we played some great stuff last season. But are we going to get that type of season again? Where all the teams fall apart. We're in a great position now. So I understand it. I understand why people say, go for the FA Cup. We're one game away from a quarterfinals. We're so close. And there's an opportunity to get to Wembley. And like you said, with the draw, who's to say that Chelsea and Man City don't play each other? Who's to say that all the other teams around them don't play each other and we can get to maybe a semi-final? And then it's just the look of the gods at that point.
Yeah. We're currently third favourites for the FA Cup. Really? The draw. Yeah.
You've got Liverpool, City, Man United, Brighton, Chelsea still left in the competition. That's quite alarming. Very flattering, but a bit odd.
I think after Chelsea's exploits yesterday, that's definitely plummeted them down the list, that's for sure. But you said Liverpool, Man City, Brighton.
So you've still got Liverpool. You've still got loads of Premier League or Championship sides. Liverpool, Southampton, Man United, Forest, City are still in there. You've got Chelsea, Wolves, Brighton. There's still a load of quality in that draw, and lots of teams that can beat us have beat us. You know, There's a lot in there.
Yeah. Sandro sent it on to me earlier. We are 7-1 for the cup. So
it's not bad, to be fair. I think that's very generous, considering how how hated we were by the bookies a couple of years ago. That's quite nice.
Yeah, we're 7-1 with Man United. So it's Man City, Liverpool, us, and Man United, then Chelsea, Brighton, Bournemouth, Wolves, Leicester, Leeds, Forest, Southampton, Luton, Coventry, Blackburn, and Maidstone.
I think that's mainly because of the draw. Let's be honest, that's why the bookies decided. You know, Man City, I've got to be fair, because they've got the best squad. We all agree on that. Liverpool at home to a Championship team. I know they've just come off 120 minutes, but you expect them to go through. And then when you look at the other draws, you know, Leeds going to Stamford Bridge, not a gimme the way they're playing. I think they've won 8 or 9 in a row under Daniel Farke. I'm not saying that they're going as favourites, but when you take out of the equation Man United, they've got to go to Forest, all Premier League game. Newcastle go to Blackburn aren't playing well in the Championship. So I agree with Alex, 7-1's a good price. I think if Newcastle fans want to chuck a tenner on it, I don't think it's a bad option. But I'm not surprised as well at the same time, because obviously of who the other games are. But let's see if we get through what the odds are after the next draw. That's all I would say anyway.
Yeah. Maybe they're projecting what you've just said, Johnny, is that we go and win at Ewood Park tomorrow, and then we get Coventry in the next round. I think you mentioned, Johnny, that Coventry are beating Maidstone at the moment.
Let's not write off Maidstone. They're only 2-0 down.
Yeah. 3-0 apparently. Simon's just
let's rule them out.
let's kind of rule them out. To be fair, Alan put it up there. You would feel confident in us beating Maidstone. Like, I would. I'm confident that we're gonna beat Blackburn. I am. I think we'll put them to the sword. They're a decent team in the Championship, but with the players that we've got available now, we've got more than enough to put them to the sword, and I'm confident we win that. Getting Coventry in the next round at St James's Park to take us back to Wembley, that would be the dream. And let all the other boys play their matches out. Let them battle on against each other. Who knows? Having those big games in the FA Cup and us maybe getting Coventry could be what we need in terms of the league form picking up, because they're now having to prioritise players for big games and all the rest of it. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I've got another question for you. Let's go to it. So whilst we're on the FA Cup game, let's throw this one at you. And this is more of a quicker sort of response, because it'll be purely your opinions on this. Do Willock and Alexander Isak start at Ewood Park tomorrow? Now, obviously, Isak played 60 minutes unscathed, although he wasn't really involved in the game because it was kind of defence against attack for most of the time he was on the pitch. Willock came on and made a massive difference in the short period that he was on the pitch. Josh, I'll come to you first. In your opinion, are you starting Willock and Isak tomorrow night?
I think it's a bit of a weird one, because I'm pretty sure Eddie Howe said in his press conference this morning he's going to have a chat with Joe Willock about starting. Of course, that'll obviously be on the topic about his match fitness. I'm in two minds, because of course, if we're speaking about our best 11 now, I'm pretty sure most people could agree that them two players go in our best 11 now. If they were both match fit, 110% that is for me. Joe Willock is an unbelievable player. He actually provides to both the offence and defence, which I don't think the likes of Sean Longstaff has done that recently. For me, Joe Willock is there 110%, but it all goes down to, are they match fit enough? I don't want to risk them. We've done that so many times this season. I think we've done that with Joe Linton a fair few times. We've rushed him back in when we've been... I can't remember the actual game, was it? It might have been Palace. That's just off the top of my head. I could be completely wrong. But sometimes when we've been comfortable in games, we've rushed these players on, and then they've went and got injured yet again. So for me personally, look, I think we'll have more than enough to beat Blackburn without these players. With all due respect to Blackburn, they're not doing well in the Championship whatsoever. I mean, last season they were pushing for the playoffs. Now, I believe, are they 18th in the Championship? Does anyone know?
Great question.
They're 16th on 39 points, with the second 16th. Most goals conceded in the Championship as well.
It's I think they've got about 3 wins in their last 16 games and lost about 9. I mean, look, in the Championship, I know it's a very competitive league, but that's absolutely terrible. They've just went through a new managerial change with their old manager used to play for us. I mean, I was Yes, before I was even born. But I think it's going
Thanks,
to take...
Josh. Thanks.
Aging everybody there.
Obviously, it's going to take them time to get used to his football. I don't believe they've actually got a win under him now. If they do, it'll only be one because, of course, three wins in the last...
I think there's added context that they lost Adam Wharton in the transfer window as well, because he was a focal point to how their possession-based football, they had a lot of quality. They've had to completely bin that. So there's, you know, they're going through a bit of a transition.
Yeah, but for me, if they're not ready to play, if we're all going to heavily risk them, definitely not. I think we can do without them in the midfield areas. Miley and Sean Longstaff, look, the midfield's been pretty leaky recently, but against a championship side, if Gordon can go up top, look, absolutely love Gordon. In my opinion, he's undoubtedly been the best performing player in this season for Newcastle United. It's striker. He's not the best. He doesn't give that exact sort of striker threat, you know, that big sort of physical presence, but I think we can do without them. If we definitely want to prioritise this game, maybe start them, bring them off after 45, 60 minutes. But as a whole right now, I probably wouldn't, just to save them.
What are we thinking, Johnny? Are you starting them both? There's lots of different opinions in there. Some people are saying, like I say, no need to play Gordon and Isak tomorrow. Nathan, Triple Eight is saying. Plenty of other options in the squad. Also suggesting Willock as a false nine is interesting. Is that something, any of those that you would consider?
I wouldn't consider Willock as a false nine. I have to be honest. He's a midfielder, and I agree with Josh. We've badly missed him. Badly, badly missed him. He's very different in terms of the midfield options that we have. He runs with the ball. He gets you out of trouble. He links up well with the likes of Alexander Isak, who obviously you've mentioned there as well, who I think is... I know Bruno's our best player, but I think going forward, Alexander Isak is probably our most important player. The problem is you just can't keep him fit. You've got 12 Premier League games and let's say a maximum of 4 FA Cup games. You just know for a fact that Alexander Isak ain't playing 16 games from now until the end of the season. It's just not going to happen. Back to the... In terms of the question itself... I actually think it's such a difficult one because I agree with what you've all said. We should have enough to beat Blackburn without them, but I don't know, there's like a niggling feeling, you know, FA Cup upset, all that. It just, I don't know, because it's maybe because we've had it in the last couple of years, Sheffield Wednesday, Cambridge the year before. If I go back to it, and if you make it simple, if you play your strongest team, your strongest team can do the job with, you know, with more time on the pitch. If they can get the job done and say Newcastle, say 2-3-0 up 65, 70 minutes with Isak and Willock both starting, and then you can take them off and rest them for Saturday, then that possibly would be the way I would look at it. But it is, it's a difficult one because, I agree with what Josh is saying. You can't really rush both of them back in at the same time. You know, both of their injury records aren't great at this moment in time. So I think anyhow, in a way, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, because I think I would want to see them start, but I would understand totally both starting on the bench. I think Isak's more likely to start because Willock hasn't played a lot of football. But I'm glad I'm not Newcastle manager for that one, I have to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Alex, are you a different opinion in any way, shape or form? Is Isak and Willock starting for you? Are you benching both? Are you playing one or the other? You know, how are you? How would you do it if you were making the choice?
I mean, I agree. To be fair, with the previous point, I think they should probably both start, and then. But it's very subjective because it depends on the sort of medical reports and what the physios are saying. I think with Isak, it's a lot easier to just say, yeah, he's probably going to start because he's had a lot more minutes in his legs, a little bit more time. I think that's quite straightforward. Whereas the Willock one is, he came on for a few minutes. Is he going to be good for a half? Are the physios going to say, right, give him 45, sub him at halftime regardless? Will Eddie Howe do that? Maybe, maybe not. So I think the Isak is a pretty easy one. I'd be surprised if he doesn't start, but then Willock is there's a lot of things that we don't know as fans that we just can't call it, really. I'd probably say my gut feeling is yes, he probably will start. And I completely agree. We need to bang in 2 or 3 goals in the first half so we can bring on Alfie Harrison, Miggy, Murphy, just get them off the bench, rest all the big hitters, take Bruno off. I mean, that's an ideal world. One thing we've not mentioned, I think it's worth playing Sean because I think he needs to prove himself, because whatever the hell that was the other night, he needs to fix it. Give him a chance. So I think Sean's got to play, and he's got to actually put some tackles in, because that was a, yeah, he needs to sort himself out.
Can I ask a question to all of you? Just to get a general consensus, because there was a few comments after the game on Saturday. Do you think Sean Longstaff and Lewis Miley do a similar job, and if both of them are playing, there's no point of both of them playing unless you've got injuries? Can only one player really do that sort of job? Because someone mentioned it before the Arsenal game, and I think I've not really thought of it like that, but when I watched the Arsenal game, I thought, yeah, they do actually. I know Sean's got.
We've been saying it for about 6 weeks, 100%.
I think Sean's got more of an engine, obviously, because he's older, and obviously he's played a lot of Premier League football. But I just think they're both very, very similar. Maybe it was more blatantly obvious over the last couple of games, but we just, if you take Bruno got injured and we put, I don't know, Matt Ritchie, just for argument's sake, just in case it was that bad in terms of injuries, we'd have no creativity, and they all do a very similar job. I only probably really noticed it last couple of games. I just think it's just...
Well, it's the reverse type of athleticism is gone, isn't it? Anderson, yeah. Willock and Joe Linton all profile very similar in physicality, athleticism, driving, recovery runs. So we've lost three people that do the same role or similar roles. And then, yeah, absolutely spot on. The reverse, the three least mobile midfielders is Bruno, Miley and Longstaff. And I know people don't like criticising Bruno, but he's not very fast. So...
No, he's not. We've been saying it for months now, probably since last season, that his lack of pace and it's his recovery runs is what lets you down, because he's playing as a number six, so he needs to do the recoveries more than anybody if he's playing in that deeper role. But he gets left behind. You go back to Tottenham. Watch the first half of Tottenham again at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Look at how the Tottenham midfielders leave him for dead about three or four times in the first half because his recovery runs are not quick enough.
Mm. If Bruno had pace, he'd be in the Champions League winning team like right now.
Yeah.
He'd be everything if he had pace.
100%. And what makes him the player is that he's technically elite. Technically with the ball, he is elite. And that's what makes him such a key player for Newcastle United. And you've just gone through it, boys. You've gone through the Joe Lintons, the Willocks, the Andersons. They're the physical guys. The athletes is what you said, Alex. You've got Bruno that's technically gifted, supremely technically gifted, can literally control a game with the ball at his feet. And then you've got on the other side of it, you've got Miley and Longstaff. Longstaff, you're right, got the bigger engine, but Miley is probably, in my opinion, better technically with the ball than Longstaff. So you've got three different type of midfielders that make up the midfield three. The problem is that all three of those players that are athletically like top level have all been injured. Because they give so much in the game, they work so hard off the ball that their bodies have broken down. And this is going back last season into this season. Bruno he works hard, he gets around the pitch, but he's not having to run at his maximum and do the sort of extreme sprinting and work that those boys do. So he's able to stay fit all the time. And
we can't chew his gum and sprint, can he? You've got to give him a choice.
That's true. But Miley and Longstaff, they are the replacements of each other, is what I always say. Like, in my opinion, they are literally the replacements of each other.
I'm really sad that nobody's mentioned Tonali.
But
Tonali, for me,
falls into the Bruno bracket. I don't know what you boys think. He falls into the Bruno bracket. If you look at the makeup of the midfielders, Tonali is in the makeup of what Bruno does. They play a similar game, similar role. Yeah. He's not maybe as technically gifted as Bruno, but he's got a lot more pace and can get up and down the pitch. Like, we go back to the Villa game and the Liverpool game in particular at St. James's Park. The amount of times Tonali did Bruno's recovery runs and regained the ball, particularly against Liverpool, he was outstanding.
Against AC Milan, that, or was it PSG? One of the first two Champions League game weeks, he clocked the fastest sprint speed that week in the Champions League, he's not slow.
I think that might have been PSG.
It might have been the PSG, but that's mad, because that's against Champions League level players as well. So that's impressive.
I'm not surprised that by that by Tonali. He put a bet on it, didn't he? So he probably got good money. Good on. No, but it's a good point. But you've all mentioned this midfield dynamic, but we're still missing one big piece of the jigsaw. This midfield dynamic with all the midfielders we mentioned, we haven't got a number six out of all those midfielders that we have mentioned.
I mean, we never have though. So
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm alluding to. We haven't got that number six that we're absolutely crying out for. Nobody really can do that that position, as much as we all want someone to kind of go out there, but we just haven't got that. Again, we can talk about that. Is that what Eddie Howe actually wants in a midfield? In a way, does he want a bit more dynamic? But I just think we desperately need that. We've missed it we missed a chance in the summer. We certainly missed an opportunity in January to really go out there. I'm not saying Calvin Phillips was the answer. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying a number six of some mold was needed.
Yeah, I think we're going to get one in the summer. I know if you've read the Mark Douglas article today, there's three key positions that's highlighted, and number six is one. But there's a few missing there that we need as well.
It's interesting that you've said that, Johnny, and obviously Daz, that you've mentioned what Mark Douglas said in his article, because Toon Gamers just put it there, and so many people say it, like Yano that comes onto the channel as well says exactly the same all the time. Eddie doesn't like playing with a six. David Cook said the same there. So many people say it, and so up until now, they're absolutely right. But Eddie Howe surely has to change tact.
Yeah. At some point, he has to see it sometime.
Surely,
it might have worked though if Tonali was available this season. I think the plan was to have that rotation and to have somebody who's a bit more mobile, and obviously that's gone out the window. And we're a bit. And then when you also, on the flip side of it, injure all your athletic midfielders, it's a double whammy. I think short term, in terms of we're talking about Blackburn in the short term, we need one of those athletic midfielders back to at least stop the gaping, bleeding wound that is our goals conceded at the moment. That will help. And then I think another one is a sweeper keeper of some regard. I don't know if you guys have talked about goalkeeper, but I think Karius. I mean, this is based on one performance, so I'm completely blind faith here. But Karius can sweep, put him in goal, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't disagree with that. I have my own personal reasons why I didn't want Dubravka playing in a Newcastle shirt, and that was the whole Man United debacle.
Yeah,
and that's just me being a bitter Newcastle United fan. The way that he ended up being the number three goalkeeper for Man United, basically being a cheerleader to David De Gea, and I think it was a Jack Butland that took over. I don't know. It's been that long ago in football. But in all seriousness, that should never, ever should have been an issue for Newcastle United. And it became a massive issue this time last year. And for me, I still got that bitterness. And I would have said to the Dubravka, look, thanks very much for everything that you've done. But that I would have been more than happy with Karius being number two. If anyhow believes that Karius isn't as good as Dubravka, fine. That's his decision. He gets paid the big bucks. But I would have been absolutely happy with Karius being number two, just for being a bitter Newcastle United fan over that situation with Man United.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong in that. I was exactly the same. I said it to Chris and Daz last January. I didn't want him back at the club. When you openly asked to leave to go to Man United, and then Man United send him back because they don't want him, that for me tells me everything I need to know. At that point, I'm shipping him off. I'm finding the quickest deal and getting him out there. He might have made a few good saves since he's come in, but for me, I wouldn't have taken him back. And I hope he does move on in the summer. I think we need to upgrade massively.
Well, he's still got 1 year left, doesn't he? So we'll need to ask. I mean, what do we get for Darlow? Like 800 grand? We're not going to get a lot for Dubravka. Maybe a mil, maybe two, if we're really lucky.
I take it. I would.
But I said this earlier. Saudi. Four over 30 goalkeepers. That's got to change. We need a young goalkeeper.
Yeah, definitely. Right. To be fair, we could have segued into a lot of other conversations there. Goalkeeper talk, all the rest of it. I think we've got a couple of questions from the chat, Daz, maybe to round up.
Yeah. I'm going to go directly to Josh with this one because... and I'll go to you as well, Pete, because Johnny, Alex and myself have given our answer here. So the question for the lads, with 12 games left in the Premier League, basically, where do you expect Newcastle to finish in the league? So, Josh, we'll get your answer first.
I mean, like the lads were saying before, we have still got to play the teams in, our, in and around like Chelsea, Brighton, etc. But there is a fair few, and of course, with the way we've been going this season, I don't want to particularly say easy. I think that's pretty disrespectful as well. But we have got a fair few favourable games, shall we say. I believe we've still got Sheffield United at home, Burnley away. I mean, that look, they're two. They should be two dead-on set wins. No beating around the bush. We've got Crystal Palace away. I mean, we always seem to draw to them, but that should be another winnable game. I think we can sort of pick up points towards the end of the season, definitely. But I think it's more on do teams around us drop points. Man United have been on really good form recently. Are they going to sort of continue this fantastic little run that they're on? I certainly don't think we'll get top four. I don't think that's achievable for Newcastle. I can't see the season panning out that way. If, from what I'd actually take as a fan, Conference League, I'd certainly take that 110%. I don't know what that actually will be, what that is eligible for in the league because of whoever wins the FA Cup, if you're top four or something, it knocks it down in the rankings and sort of stuff. But I believe Newcastle this season, I think six is pretty achievable. Of course, teams need to drop points. And I think we will definitely, we're getting our rhythm. We'll get the likes of maybe not Jolent. I think he's out for a very, very long time. But we'll get one of them, what Alex was going on about, one of them midfielders back like Yir Andersons and sort of stuff. We'll go on a pretty nice winning streak because we need that defence to the midfield. And if we'll get that sustainability in the midfield, I think we'll be pretty comfortable going into the games that we wouldn't be without that midfield. I saw six for me. I think Newcastle will end up in and around there, but I'm setting stone for six.
Pete, your thoughts?
I'm going to say seventh. I think we'll, and I hope we get enough points to get European football. Alan Thompson just put in the chat, he reckons we'll get 47 points. We'll end up on, that's 10 more points than what we've got now. Surely we're going to get more than 10 points
from the last 12 games. That's relegation form right there.
Come on, Alan. Come on, man. He's been quite pessimistic tonight. Normally you're the voice of positivity, but I'm going to say seventh place. I think a lot of the teams around us have got a lot of games where they're playing each other. Yes, we have to play them too. But I've got confidence that getting these players back, that we'll win some of these games against the teams in and around us. Josh has talked about some of the teams down the bottom, Sheffield United, Burnley, Everton. We've got a home straight after West Ham. So two home games back to back. West Ham on the 30th, Everton the week after. Like, that's 6 points there. Like, to be fair, we should be targeting 6 points. Wolves this weekend. We should be, they're in great form, they're playing really well, they've got good players, but we're at St. James's Park. We should be taking the game to them for sure. So there you're looking at four games there, three or four games in itself where we need to be picking up points. So I'm going to say seventh. It's going to get European football. The question I have, and nobody's really been able to answer it yet, is that obviously with the Carabao Cup being won by Liverpool, that, I think, brings it down to seventh place, which is the conference now because of that. If a team in the Champions League or in Europe already wins the FA Cup, does that then bring it down to eighth? Because it's been a long time since eighth got European football.
I think it's the coefficient as well comes into factor with fifth being Champions League. So eighth could get us conference at best case scenario.
Yeah. So there's an opportunity there. That adding in another place in the table, surely we're in that conversation. Surely, you know, if eighth is getting you Europa Conference, but let's wait and see.
Can I just clarify that? I didn't say, I don't think we'll finish fifth, by the way. I just said that it's possible. I don't think we'll finish fifth.
Alex, because I was going to say we're all wrong except you, Alex, and we won't be disappointed if you're right and we get fifth.
I just said we're only 10 points off fifth, which just for context, but I don't think we'll finish fifth.
Other teams have pulled it back. And we were 9 points or close to it, 8-9 points away from West Ham at one point. And up until tonight, we were ahead of them. So we managed to put it back. So it is possible.
And at the start of the season, I did say, I think my worst case scenario was eighth if our season falls off a cliff. And I don't think that was too far wrong. But I would say eighth is an absolute minimum.
Yeah. Right, let's move on, lads. Spare thought for our Chris, who's celebrating 4 points returned on Merseyside to Everton tonight as well for Chris Hall, and also celebrating Lisa's birthday. That's why he's not here. Next question, Dave. Another one from David Cook, and it's a comment, Pete. And you will need to tell Amanda about these zippy pockets, Pete, because she's losing her phone just like you, and keys and everything like that. No, apparently, at the game yesterday. Right, question from Johnny Green. He says, no relation to our Johnny Greenwood here. Do you guys think that if Matt Target was fit, he would have been sold in January?
Good question.
What, Mr. 100 bags a week, man?
He ain't on 100 grand a week. He ain't no Chris Wood.
I personally don't think he would have been. Great name, by the way, whoever asked that question. Fantastic name. No, but in all seriousness, no, I don't think he would have done. I just think I think we mentioned it before. We need squad depth, and look, he is an option there. Look, he wouldn't be first choice. I think we'd all agree on that. But he's still not a bad option to have as Matt Target. He just had his injury problems, like proper bad injury problems, and then obviously. It's probably contradicting myself, but a centre half's keeping him out of the team for pretty much half of last season while he was fit. So, yeah, he's nice to have around at the minute. when he's fit, it'll be nice to have around. But look, he can certainly do a job. He's a Premier League left back. He did well at Aston Villa, who obviously we signed him for. But is he going to get you off your seat? No, he's not. But he's solid enough. He's not going to take Newcastle to the next level. He's not going to be your left back for the next 10 years. But can you ask him to do a job? Yeah, certainly. But I don't think anyhow would have sold him. I think unless we got a ridiculous offer, but you're not going to get it.
Jim's got it right. Al Hilal for 30 mil. There you go.
Honestly, I've been saying this for ages. Get Al Hilal on the phone. And why did they not put an extra 5 million on the table for Miggy? Like that's another concerning one for me, because he's just not offering you anything. I know you'll probably have all the stats on Miggy Almiron for the last few weeks, Alex, but
they're not good.
They're not, but they aren't because he doesn't offer you anything. Like, he had that purple patch last season in which he was, let's be honest, that purple patch was there for about 70-75% of the season. He played brilliantly for the vast majority of the season. But we've probably seen it for about 10% of this season at best. And then it was probably the goal against Sheffield and then the goal against Paris. And that was only because he got dropped for Jacob Murphy for the AC Milan game at the start of the season. I just think for me, if anyone is desperately needs to come out of this team, it's Miggy Almiron. I really, really do. That's one player I don't start tomorrow. I do not start. I start Harvey Barnes from the start because we need him to get minutes. And just Miggy is just not playing well enough. He isn't playing well. He's not going to get classed as dropped for an FA Cup game at Blackburn. You can say he's being rested, but he's just not offering enough at this moment in time, especially going forward. His decision making at the final third, it's really, really poor, to put it politely. I remember one, I think it was the second half against Bournemouth. It was early on. I don't know if Bournemouth had just scored. It was just before Bournemouth scored the first. And he's running in and he has a chance to lay it at Gordon, which was the better option out of the two, either to take a shot at the edge of the box with two players, closing him down. He has to make that pass to Anthony Gordon. And there's so many times we've said this, and we've said this for such a long time with Miggy Almiron. It's just not good enough. His goals and his assists for a player that should be doing better is just nowhere near good enough.
Yeah, that one you're talking about was four 100%. Shots, by the way.
Really?
Four shots, none, all off target. And he had two of those shots you could have played to either Trippier or Gordon. I'd have hooked him as soon as he was selfish with the first one, to be completely honest.
There was a tweet, someone tweeted out today. I only saw it just before we came on live. And the caption was, "I'll never forgive Miggy for this." And it was basically the cup final against Man United. Man United have a corner. We break on the attack. And Miggy's running. He must run like 40, 50 yards with the ball. And Maxi actually runs beyond him. He actually runs past him, Miggy, with the ball. Miggy cuts inside and he tries to play a ball, I think, to Isak, where there's a defender just blatantly marking him. And Maxi's got the whole of the box free. All he needs to do is to play it in a straight line to him. And Maxi's just like this. I couldn't remember that. And I was like, how have you not found Maxi there? He's literally ran past you in front of you and his arms out waiting for the ball. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, just... We just need quality. We need quality in the top end of the pitch, all over, right, left, up top. We need quality all over. I think we're in a good position on the left with Barnes and Gordon. They're going to get goals for us. We've got Isak, we can get goals for us. Wilson, of course, but his injuries. And then the problem is the right-hand side. It's the weakest area of our attack.
Jan Kubaminte, he will be back.
Well, that was going to be like an added question here is that...
He's even got it ready.
Yeah, it was like an added question. Like, it will Jan Kubaminte get a place in your squad in the 24-25 season? I'll put it out there.
You get a place in this squad? Right now,
yeah, we can't get him back though. Yeah. That's the point. Now,
I'm going to ask this question, and this is the question that we used to ask the last couple of years: is he better than Jacob Murphy? That's how I look at it.
Is he? What do we think? Josh is. I think it felt like Josh was about to come out with something there. What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, to answer the first question in the squad, I mean, 110% is, it's better than having a 15 goalkeepers for a start. But yes, he'd definitely be in the squad for me. Actually, to answer another question before I do that one, if we had the chance to recall Jan Kubaminte right now, and of course there might be some clauses and sort of stuff, I actually would take a chance on Jan Kubaminte, but I've seen from some Feyenoord fans, I know they aren't exactly the manager of Feyenoord, but there's a concern about Minter that he's sort of getting back as a winger. It isn't the best whatsoever, he's sort of defensive attributes, which I think Miggy, he doesn't do the greatest. Of course, he's got that intensity there. He does track back. His work rate's fantastic. But like you've mentioned before, gents, that decision making, it's appalling. We've seen it time and time again. It's happened for a very long time as well. Against Arsenal, very, very recently. I can't believe what the exact chance was, but he was through on goal. I'm pretty sure he just tapped it, Araya, instead of shooting or passing along.
Yeah, he was offside anyway, that one.
Oh, did he know he was offside?
I mean, he was born offside, so.
probably a better answer to the question, but... He would be in my squad. What was the question you actually asked, Peter?
I don't know. Don't go there, Josh.
That's it out of my head now.
Jan Kubaminte, next season, is he in the squad?
Is he in the squad?
Yeah, he is in the squad, yeah.
You brought your own questions. That's why Dad's put it up. Bring your own questions to work, mate.
The script has gone out the window at this stage. After we have one.
Yeah, I could talk for England, me lads.
No. That's what we want, Josh. That's exactly what we want. And yeah. some beautiful segues into different topics. And I'm going to do it myself now. Going back to what Johnny said about Miggy, I 100% agree on that. Let's go to another one. And I want to throw in another bit to this. But it's how many more games before Bruno can make a tackle again? And also, he surely be able to make a tackle tomorrow against Blackburn. If he gets a yellow card there, that won't count towards the Premier League? Correct me if I'm wrong there.
I honestly don't know. I had the assumption that if he got booked against Arsenal, he would be suspended for the Blackburn game. But I've been told that's probably not allowed. But Bruno got a red card in the League Cup and couldn't play three Premier League games. So but could play the League Cup final. So honestly, I don't really know. But what's the best way of putting it? You can see that there's something a little bit missing from Bruno in the last few games because he knows he's got this hanging over his shoulder, apart from the Nottingham Forest game where he was absolutely incredible. We don't have Bruno on that pitch against Nottingham Forest. We don't win the game. It's as simple as that. He was world-class on that performance, in my opinion. But for me, I thought on Saturday he just needed that yellow card. As much as it would have pained all Newcastle fans for two games, whatever two games he misses, because at least he can kind of get back to the old Bruno, if you like, where he will put a challenge in and he will, you know, take that risk. He's not going to get yellow card every single game, but you almost felt like he knows it's in the back of his mind. He knows it's there. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. The problem is we can't do without him. Who else do we play in there? You're bringing Longstaff and Miley right back into the mix again, which is what we're trying to avoid. And we've got massive games, boys. Wolves, Chelsea, Palace, West Ham, all in the next month. Like, we need Bruno Guimaraes for those games. We can't afford to not have him. Like, it, so.
Southern Geordie says Yellow's reset game week 32. So, not long, then.
That was six games.
Right, I think is that it, Daz, or we got one more?
One last one, right? This comes from Clarky. Since he followed Alex across, like many more came from Tune Review. Right, Clarky asks, is the Conference League worth it in terms of revenue and player pool, or are we better saving our legs and concentrating on the domestic stuff next season?
I mean, it's not about the revenue in the player pool. It's about getting the squad used to playing that many fixtures and the travelling. We want every single season, we want the squads to know that they're going to have to travel, they're going to have to go abroad. It needs to be a consistent thing year on year on year. And player pool, it's not going to have player pool in terms of star factor, but it'll have player pool in terms of promise of game time, because there's going to be more games available. So different spin on it. So is it worth it? Not particularly for revenue, but for usefulness for the squad. It's also good for the coaching team and the full setup for Eddie Howe, so they can get used to managing mid-game and the weekend. Because managing mid-game and weekend in the Championship is very different managing mid-game weekend when it's sort of European fixtures. You've got to adapt to different, you know, the scouting you've got to do when it's a completely different team. If it's a Turkish side or a Greek side, it's not going to be as, you know, the stuff's not going to be as readily available as if you're playing sort of a Blackburn. And it's where we need to improve. It's where we've not got any experience as a club. So I think it's really, really important. Yeah.
The one thing I'll say is ask West Ham fans if it's worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
In Prague last June, ask them if it's worth it. And I think you get your answer there. Newcastle United getting to the Europa Conference, I'd be more than confident that we'd at least get to the final. And that's just my opinion. And what better way to get your first trophy than lifting a European trophy? There's no better way for me. I think our squad even now is strong enough to get to the latter stages of that competition. That's without Tanani. That's without summer signings. If we get Conference League, I think we've got a squad. If they all stay fit and we don't have a disaster like we have this season, I think we've got enough of a squad to really go the distance. So, yeah, 100% it's worth it, in my opinion.
I think something else which it is really beneficial for is basically what you've just said there, Pete. I mean, it's for the fans, isn't it, to go on them European away days, which we've waited so long for. Of course, we got them last season. And actually, I do like the concept of the Conference League. Of course, it's not going to absolutely drive revenue. It's not a sort of global competition, if you know what I mean. We don't know the exact in and outs and the exact figures, but it's not going to be Champions League money, is it? But in terms of player pool, I mean, we signed Alexander Isak, Bruno, Trippier, Botman without Champions League football, you know what I mean? So, of course, promises will be made. We'll get into the Champions League in these amount of years. We'll do this, we'll do that. But at that moment in time, we weren't guaranteed the Champions League whatsoever. I mean, there's a massive discussion that we did sort of overachieve last season. So I don't think it'll necessarily push players away that were actually in European football. I don't think players in this squad will be sort of demoralised because we are still in European football. They know we are definitely going to build on that sort of season if we do get the Conference League. But I most importantly for me, I think it's a very good chance of winning a trophy. Any sort of chance of winning a trophy, I'll take. And definitely be unbelievable for the fans yet again. And actually, what I have said, when you're going in the Champions League, you know you're going to get Milan's in that competition, Dortmund's, Bayern Munich. You know they're going to be in that competition every single year. But it's the obscure away days, which personally, it's very off topic, but like the obscure away days into the back end of Serbia, Slovenia. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'll be fantastic for the fans to actually experience. And when we're talking about this project that we did do, you probably would expect us to go Conference League, Europa League, Champions League, not Champions League, Conference League. So I think some fans who don't see the bigger picture might feel a little bit, well, how would just win Champions League, Conference League? But for me, it would 110% be worth it.
Josh wants to go interrailing. That's what I'm hearing. He wants to go on those road trips.
We're the best team, by the way, out of every team left in the Conference League. Like, I'm looking at them now. You've got Zagreb, Fiorentina, who we pumped in the Cellar. It's basically Cellar Cup standard teams. Club Brugge, Sturm Graz, Tel Aviv, Olympiakos, Servet. I mean, Villa's the strongest team in that list.
Yeah.
I was on the fence. I have to be honest. I was on the fence when that question came about in terms of the Conference League, and you know, my first thought was, well, actually, if we're not in the Conference League and we're the only team out of like the teams that are above us that aren't in European competition, how much would that benefit the squad in terms of just one game a week most weeks? And we saw what it did really last season, apart from obviously the Carabao Cup run. We were able to have fresh legs week in, week out, and we battered some clubs like, to, you know, Tottenham, who were playing European football, Manchester United that were playing European football. We did put on a show against some of these teams, especially towards the back end of the season. But I do take you, I think that's a really, really good point, Pete. You know, West Ham fans had a taste of it last year, and you know, probably the best day of their lives. You know, they probably would say that as long as their wives weren't listening, in terms of marriages and kids' birthdays, etc. But I think it's a really, really good, really, really good point. I think it's also another good point in terms of what Josh said. You know, we were near the bottom of the table, and we still managed to get the likes of Bruno Guimaraes to walk through the door. I know it was a different set of circumstances, but I think, As much as I'm thinking about it, I'm more on the fence. I'm more leaning towards of actually, you know, it would be really good to be in the Conference League. We've whinged about not being in Europe for so many years, and we saw clubs that, let's be honest, the smaller football clubs that were in Europe, like so Swansea and Birmingham and Wigan, and you know, clubs like that, even like Leicester, even smaller clubs compared to Newcastle. When you look at that, who, let's be honest, you're thinking, why can't Burnley. We be there? Burnley, yeah, another good team. You know, like you're thinking, why can't Newcastle be one of those teams? So, yeah, you with that point there, Pete, you've swayed me. We're going to the Conference League. Forget about Blackburn. We're going to
Sturm Graz away. Let's do it.
Exactly. Like, come on. Imagine the fan foot you get there. So yeah, it would be amazing.
It's a bit bigger than the Inter Toto Cup piece of paper and Scott Parker holding up. So it's a bit more prestigious than that. Yeah.
You know how old the Inter Toto Cup is? Josh probably doesn't even know what it is.
It's older than me. I mean, the last time I won it. Sorry.
Honestly, it was a great day. You should have seen the parade, Josh. It was amazing.
I'm guessing it wasn't.
Oh, it was fantastic. Honestly, you saw everybody out with the steak bakes and the coffees and everything. It was amazing.
I think James Milner playing for when Josh was born.
Well, when did
definitely
he
someone.
For, when did he play for Newcastle?
2004, did he sign? Or 2004?
Yeah, I did then.
How old are you, Josh?
At 17, born in 2006.
Oh, he was playing for Villa. He'd already left us to go to Villa. Oh, that hurts.
I'm pretty sure this kid's like 13 years older than me.
2005, 2006, he was at Villa as a 19-year-old. Oh, God.
I'm surprised that top hasn't got acne if it's got like 13 years older than you.
It's actually in pretty good shape, you know.
Madness.
Right, on that note, Pete, I think we're done with the questions.
Yeah, no, it's, guys, it's been a great discussion. Lots of different topics there. Really do appreciate it. Massive thanks to yourself, Josh, Johnny, coming and joining us, and of course, Alex, coming and joining us after your show on the Toon Review. Questions in the chat, brilliant as well. The conversation has been absolutely superb. And yeah, as we've said, great, great chat. Lots still to come. On Loading Mag NUFC, as Daz has already talked about, we're back for a watch-along tomorrow night for the FA Cup game, so make sure you get involved in that. And I had contact with, for all the Loaded Ultras, contact with Pete Graves today. He had a chat with us, and he is promoting, as you might have seen on social media, an evening with Jonas Gutierrez and friends. And if you haven't already, make sure you get your tickets for that event. And there may well be an interesting draw for a couple of tickets potentially to that event if you are a Loaded Ultra, so make sure you are involved in that too. Make sure you get scan your QR code for your subscription to Loading Mag NUFC and follow us on our platform as well. All of our socials are on there too. I think that might be it, unless we're sending out the sponsors.
Yeah, let's see it out with the sponsors, Pete. And just a quick shout out to theradiatorshed.com for all your radiator needs. And you know, all these pictures are ready and there's new ones on the way, as we keep saying. And also shout out to H2O Bathroom Design Co. and the beautiful bathrooms that are on offer there. Go check out the latest in store, online, and more info coming shortly on Loaded Mag in UFC. That's it, I guess, guys. Thanks again for joining us. And last thing to say is, how'd you like that? Good night, everyone. Take
See
care.
See you now, lads. Thank you. Drink it, like me, and tell me if you like that, like that.